Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. In recent years, we have been increasingly familiar with stories about our military veterans and the problems some encounter transitioning to civilian life. The issues run the gamut, from PTSD to homelessness to suicide, and there are lots in between these extremes. Many of the returning vets are in our colleges and universities, and this is Student Veterans Week. Locally, student vets are collaborating to highlight these issues, and a new film is helping them make their point. They formed an organization called Student Veterans of St. Louis. Joining me to talk about the organization and the film, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Jim Craig is Associate Teaching Professor and Chair with the Department of Military and Veteran Studies at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Representing chapters of the Student Veterans Association are chapter presidents Heath McClung at UNGSL, James Peterson at Washington University, and Jonathan Hurley at St. Louis University. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jim Craig, let me start with you. Is it fair to say that the student and the vets who have come back to go to college are in a better emotional place than some of their counterparts who are not in school?
I think that's fair. If you look at the spectrum of veterans as they transition out, the ones who find their way fairly quickly to college generally are the ones who are doing all right. They're forward-looking veterans. That's not to say there aren't some struggles in college, and there some who don't go to college aren't doing fine. But I think it would be fair to say the ones that end up in college are the ones who have looking forward to the future rather than looking backwards to what they once were or once could have been.
Sure, James. What sort of issues are you confronting and your peers confronting at Washington University?
I'd say social isolation is a big issue, and the student veterans groups, we try to combat that. That's what they're there for, is to combat that issue. I think that Jim Craig brings up a good point, and that the veteran who actually goes back to school is he's going to be in a better place. Also, because he's around those student veterans, he's able to associate with other veterans and connect with other veterans and not be isolated. So, we're doing a good job of confronting these issues.
Heath, how about you? What's your take on all of this?
Well, entering a university setting is definitely much different than the military. I would say one of our biggest struggles is actually coming to the realization that our peers are not only veterans anymore, and the outlooks of just, your standard college student is going to be much different than, a slightly older veteran that's returning to a university. So really trying to connect with not only your fellow student veterans, but with the campus as a whole. I feel, really alleviate some of these problems, helps with reintegration. But it's very hard when you sit down with an 18-year-old, that has only known, let's just say, St. Louis, since that's where we're at, and doesn't have some of these life experiences. And when you get into, some of the debates and courses and everything, it's a little difficult to always take a step back and understand where they're coming from. And also being given that credit that you do have these other experiences and not being labeled, on these things that we sometimes label veterans with PTSD or problems coming back into the civilian world. But overall, I think that St. Louis, we're making great steps on identifying these issues and having people like Jim Craig who interact with the students. And, for the ones who are struggling, they know that there's somebody to listen and somebody to help them work through these issues.
Jonathan, what are you finding at SLU?
I find the issue is that we're focusing a lot on the issues. Even the way we introduce this segment today, the first thing that you associate with veterans is you associate them with trauma, with PTSD, right, with disability. And that's not the only story there is to tell. What we hunt, what we're looking for is a contribution to society. And now more than ever, we need resilience and we need leadership. In our politics, in our communities, in our businesses, we need these things. And where we're going to get them, just like we saw during the Service Members Reintegration Act of World War II, is this commitment to leadership and this commitment to service that veterans are bringing home with them. And as they reintegrate into the community, they have this amazing strength to do good and be amazing leaders. The problem is the transition is difficult. And right now, in the public eye, the focus is on the issues. Next to me in the studio, there's a metal leg that rests on the floor. And if anybody were viewing us on a camera, this would be the first thing that they focus on. This burden that Heath has, but we don't see it like that. And I guarantee you that Heath does not see it like that. Mm-hmm. What we see is a leader. What we see is a capable and resilient person who has a great depth of contribution, you know, to society, and who understands the meaning of service, and who could do amazing things for us. You know, but like I said, the problem is the transition is hard. So if we could find a way to help with the transition, then, you know, we could see great returns into the community on the back end.
Let me get your take from all of you on this, but I think you're right. I think one of the things that people think of when they hear the word veteran is that this is a troubled person, mm-hmm. one physically or mentally, emotionally, what have you. How do you deal with that? I mean, would you agree, number one, that many people react to you that way?
Definitely. I do agree with that. And one thing I need to point out, as James said, now more than ever, we are, you know, we are extremely accountable for our peers. And that's one of the purposes of this week is accountability for our brothers and sisters in the military. And this social support structure that we're trying to build through these types of organizations that allow for that continued and future success, they allowed for the healing process to begin. They allow, you know, for these social support services that are just necessary, not just for academic success, but for professional transition and for being a part of a healthy community. These are things we need. And now more than ever, we're being accountable to ourselves and to our brothers and sisters, you know, the veterans that are transitioning out. So that's a huge step forward. Just the fact that, you know, we're working together on this under a single umbrella, under a single flag, is massive. It's a big step forward. And, you know, St. Louis is kind of leading the charge in this, which is good. And it makes us very proud of our community. But that is something, you know, our path forward is to build this narrative of leadership and this narrative of resilience in veterans. And through that, you know, as I said earlier, I think we're looking at our future business, political, and community leaders of tomorrow. Yeah.
Heath, do you want to comment on that reaction that people have to you?
Yeah, well, as Jonathan was saying, you know, there's something about me physically, having a prosthetic, you know, immediately people's eyes are drawn to that. And, you know, most of the time people are saying, I'm sorry that happened to you. Thank you for your service. But really, honestly, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. And that sounds really weird to people. Yeah. But you know, I am a much different person and what I would consider a much better person going through a 3-year transition. People see me now walking and everything, and they don't understand that was 3 years worth of hard work. But now I use it as, you know, example to people that, you know, I don't make excuses for myself. I don't say that there's things I can't do. And so I've found that even if I'm not just out there shouting this from the rooftop, just by going about my daily life, that especially the student veterans themselves really kind of respect that, and I hope that it motivates them to kind of pursue their own goals and realize that life doesn't end after military service. There's a lot to look forward to, and there's a lot that you can accomplish.
James, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, that's hard to top. Nice job, Heath. But he brings up a good point that he says he's a better person because of this. Some of us, we instead of calling it post-traumatic stress, we call it post-traumatic growth. And that I know that myself and these two guys and Jim, I would consider myself a better person because of my experiences at war. You know, and then we can bring that to the classroom and a more worldly view and a better perspective and what's important. I wouldn't change my experiences for anything. I don't think you guys would either.
Yeah, no.
Jim, what about all of this?
You know, I'm just sitting here looking left and looking at these great students. So my thought is the greatest generation didn't become the greatest generation because they toppled Hitler or won the war in the Pacific, the greatest generation came back and did something. And I think we're seeing now in St. Louis some connections at the student veteran level, which will then grow into hopefully the veteran level, and we're going to do something. And my work at UMSL, and I've been there a few years now, has never been about specifically the university. It's really just been about veterans, and this is seems to be the next iteration of that type of work, putting the best students who often are your veterans together and then working on problems as a group, not as individuals.
Well, you say, you know, the greatest generation came back and did something. But they did something because the political time allowed them to do something, the GI Bill.
Yes.
There were so many things that happened.
Yes.
Are the veterans of today getting the same kind of political support that the greatest generation did?
So, first of all, the numbers are much smaller.
Yeah.
Which
should make it easier.
Which should, well, theoretically. But the support is there, right? Our society right now, I don't think we've ever been at a higher level of support for the concept of our veterans and that we should be supporting our veterans. The issue really becomes is every one of the people here have hit on it, is there's this dichotomy. Are we supporting them because they're disabled, or are we supporting them because these are the next leaders of our generation? So in 1946, General Wainwright issued a letter to all service members who were leaving. General Wainwright is the Bataan Death March general.
Sure.
And in that letter, and I could paraphrase that letter, I don't have it in front of me, essentially said, you have seen what happens to societies when you ignore the leadership, when you don't take charge. Take charge. This organization, this country is yours, veterans. Be a leader. And I think we're seeing that now in St. Louis. We're seeing it actually all over the country. But St. Louis is really exciting because this collaboration among universities and university student veterans.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we have to be cognizant of our history, of our roots, especially, you know, every service member understands that. And we look back and we see, you know, out of the middle class was built on the backs of that opportunity, the original GI Bill. We had presidents that came out of that original GI Bill. We had almost 20 Nobel Prize laureates come out of that, you know, original GI Bill. And now we have an even better opportunity with the latest version of the GI Bill. And service members are not turning their noses up at it. They're using it. And they're using it with some success. You know, the problem is during that time where they're using this GI Bill, they're transitioning their health care. They're transitioning their families back into the civilian world. They're transitioning, you know, paychecks are a question. So it's a very difficult time in anyone's life when you're transitioning from an environment like military service to an environment, you know, an academic environment. But what we're seeing now more than ever is, you know, service members being accountable for themselves and accountable for others. And they're not letting, you know, as Jim said, they're not letting these opinions be held in the hands of others. I'll use James as an example. James is a master's of social work student, and he's going to be, you know, working for the VA as a veteran. Now, this isn't a story. This is quite an amazing story, but it's not a story that's uniquely his own. What we're seeing is a lot of veterans are working for these institutions like the VA. 10 years ago, the VA was in very rough shape. It's made a lot of progress since, and a lot of that progress can be attributed to these OIF veterans returning and taking that task into their own hands. They're not letting their destinies be decided by someone else. Mm-hmm. They're fixing these things from the inside out, and I think that just shows what it is that makes service members so unique, what it is that makes them so special.
I'm glad to hear your feeling that the VA is in better shape now than it was, because we saw an awful lot recently about its not being in very good shape.
Of course,
so that's very encouraging. I have to take a break. We'll do that now. You just heard from Jonathan Hurley, who is a student veteran leader at St. Louis University. Also with me in studio is James Peterson, has that same capacity at Washington University. Heath McClum does the student veteran leadership thing at UMSL, and also with me from UMSL is former Lieutenant Colonel Jim Craig. Take this break now, come back, continue our conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. now back to our conversation. Jim Craig, let me turn to you. It seems to me that there are advantages that these veterans have. We talked about leadership. And because of that, they have certain advantages coming back. And that is that my impression is that more and more employers are seeking veterans because of their leadership skills, the fact that they are older, more mature, and will make a better employee.
So I would say that all those are theoretically correct, and employers are on the hunt for good leadership, people who can have communication skills, problem-solving skills, and veterans in general fill those niches. What we're seeing now, because the veterans' employment rate is actually a click below our national employment, we're actually doing very well on veterans' employment. The next iteration that we're starting to study and we're learning is that veterans don't stay at those jobs. Generally, veterans, more than half of veterans will leave their first job within a year. There's not a great fit immediately, and we're trying to figure out why that is. And a lot of that revolves around culture and understanding, and the veteran has to step forward and learn, as well as the institution, the organization, the company you're working for has to learn to work with the veteran and the veteran experience. We don't have a great handle on that now, but we're working on that. And companies are working on that through their affinity groups, companies like Boeing, who's going to support us at the screening later this week, are really interested in doing the right things and getting this good talent and retaining this good talent. So, you know, I guess so partially you're correct, but partially we don't know the right answers yet.
James Peterson, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that we still need to work as veterans on taking responsibility for ourselves. And part of that, an interesting quote I heard from Bob McDonald, the former Secretary of the VA, back in January, I got the opportunity to meet him. And he said it's important for veterans to adjust to the companies that they go to, the organizations that they go to after the military, rather than expecting those organizations to you know, adapt to them. And I think that we still need to do that and push that because it's tough. It's easy to get out of the military and see everyone else as a civilian, and you are different than them, and you expect them to kind of take you as you are. But you need to also adapt to where you go to.
Heath McClung, do you have any concerns about this next transition then?
I mean, any kind of change I feel is a little concerning just for human beings in general. But I think that, you know, when we see the support from companies like Boeing, and there's many others like that, as well as the support of our peers, that really we're set up for success. And as James was saying, like, we need to stop making excuses for ourselves and just, you know, say we have this, let's work on it, and put the best foot forward. Because, you know, never in the military did we ever say, oh, we can't get the job done. We just adapted and overcame, as the saying goes. And I think that that can be pointed towards your civilian career as well. Like James was saying, a huge company should not have to adjust their policies for a single individual. However, you know, there has to be some understanding in the way that maybe VA healthcare works, disabilities through the VA, but that shouldn't be an overall culture change. And really, as veterans, you know, we already adapted once to a culture that's very different, being the military. So just have to do it one more time.
Have you had a VA experience here? I mean, you've got a prosthetic leg.
I've had quite a VA experience.
That's
here.
Awesome.
So I actually I didn't initially lose my leg, but I.
Nor did you lose your cell phone.
Yeah, my prosthetic's actually setting off Siri.
It's very opinionated.
So I got out of the Army and moved back here to St. Louis, and I actually had my amputation, you know, just down the street here at John Cochran. I've done a ton of physical therapy as well as just kind of general health care at the Jefferson Barracks facility as well. And, you know, there's definitely issues within the VA. But as far as health care, the doctors, the treatment that I received, you know, was stellar and really comparable to, you know, the Barnes Jewish hospitals. I think that the bigger issues are in the bureaucratic side.
Of course, definitely.
Yeah, it's sometimes getting to the treatment in the facilities. But once you're there, I really have not had any better experiences in a civilian hospital than I have in a VA hospital.
Jonathan, you were reacting as if you've had some experience there.
Of course. I was, and what he said is completely true, is I received I got out of the military on a medical discharge for a cancer diagnosis, and I received treatment at Siteman Cancer Clinic in Barnes Jewish, and those same people that were treating me in Barnes Jewish were treating me in the VA after. So there's a lot of good doctors. There's a ton of good people there. But the problem is the bureaucratic burden. The problem is the paperwork. And it's not an easy issue to solve. And anyone that claims it to be does not have the cognizance of the problem. It is an extremely complex problem. But there are a ton of good people at the VA that care, that really care. It's their passion that drives them. And that's what we see. When you exit the military, you're in a search for an opportunity, and you're going to grab that first opportunity that comes to you because you're looking for stability. But what drives veterans is, they're very passionate people, and this passion drives their everything. So James fights trauma. That's his passion. That's his life. Heath is an engineer who's going to be working on prosthetics. That's his passion. Once veterans find this thing that they care about, that they love, they pursue it to the end. And it's the same thing with the people that work at the VA, is there is a lot of good care providers that are just passionate about it, and they're passionate about helping veterans.
Yeah. If I can say something about that.
Sure.
There seems to be this narrative that we need to do more for our veterans as far as giving them better health care. We have, as veterans, access to some of the best mental health care in the world. It's up to the veterans to actually seek it and get that health care from the VA.
And have access to it. I mean, part of the problem is
right.
the fact
so,
that a lot of them don't have that access.
Right. And if you actually live in a city that has a good VA facility, like St. Louis, you're at a much better advantage than some of these rural areas. But, yeah, I have to say that the VA health care, as far as the mental health goes, is phenomenal, actually.
Our time is winding down somewhat, and I have a couple of calls I'd like to take. But, Jim Craig, let me come back to you. You mentioned the film a little while ago. We ought to let folks know exactly what we're talking about there.
Yeah, so actually, but I want to let the students talk about the Almost Sunrise screening.
Okay. So Almost Sunrise, you could Google this. You could check out the trailer on YouTube. Just type in Almost Sunrise.
Effective. Yeah.
So this is a veteran-centric documentary that the story is the healing. The story is not the burden of trauma. Veterans take a unique approach into the way they battle their experiences, into the way they process their experiences. And this is an example of one of those unique approaches being very effective and fitting the personality. So these are two veterans that hike a very long distance, I believe 2,000 miles.
2,700.
And it's as a part of their processing these traumatic experiences, dealing with the things that they did in Iraq. And it's about reintegration. It's a really positive story, and I think it tells a really good story of our current vets and what they're facing when they get out.
And this is going to be screened when?
This is going to be in conjunction with Boeing. Boeing will be hosting us. So this is a closed event. They're going to host 150 student veterans across St. Louis to see this movie and have a reception afterwards.
We'll put information concerning that on our website at SDL. You mentioned the SDLpublicradio.org. You mentioned that word trauma again, which we've used a lot here. We have a call from Laurie in University City who wants to pick up on that point. So, Laurie, it's your turn. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that my experience is not associating with veterans with trauma. Just based on my work experience and friend experience, I find that these veterans who are returning are far more likely to be natural leaders. I have found that these people are grown-up men and women. They've seen more of life than any of us ever will. They know the meaning of teamwork, and in an office setting, these are the people who keep things in perspective. They don't get bent out of shape about the small things. So I just wanted to let you guys know that there are a lot of people out there who do not look at vets and say suffering from trauma.
Lori, thank you for
thank
the call.
You.
We alluded to that point a little bit earlier, but she really makes the point, Jim, that you are making.
Yeah, I thank you very much for your comments. I think, I find that to be accurate in my work with student veterans and with veterans in the St. Louis community. And this idea that we have to choose between them being a hero or a time bomb really is wrong, right? We're all somewhere in between there. And I think student veterans in general are doing great. Some need help.
Do you think it's any different today, Jim, than it was after World War II or after Vietnam?
Well, the difference is the connection from the community, because you could go to your kitchen table and have a conversation with your brother or your uncle or your aunt and talk about this. And that's just not available to most of our veterans now. Mm-hmm. Although actually a lot of our veterans come from families who were in service.
But that's because there are fewer of them.
But there are fewer and fewer. This is a choice that people have made in their lives. It was not an obligation of citizenship anymore.
You all volunteered.
During a time of certain war, and we were fighting in two separate countries over the past decade, and when these people joined the military, we knew without a doubt that you were most likely going to be deployed.
Let me just ask a question I've wondered about a lot, because sometimes I think it's overused. Perhaps I'm wrong, but James, I'll start with you. How do you feel when people say thank you for your service?
So I understand that it comes from a good place, so I appreciate that. I appreciate the meaning behind it. It's always a little awkward. I mean, what's the response? You're welcome.
Yeah.
So I would prefer that someone just asked about my service. Who are you with? What was your MOS? Which was your job?
Yeah.
That means more than just saying thank you for your service.
It definitely puts you in an awkward bind at times. And if you ask someone that, who's recently returned from a combat tour of duty. Mm-hmm. That could be an especially awkward question, because they are still processing their own self-identity and their own worldview in relation to the experiences that they had. And the thank you for the service can kind of – that may not always be the right thing to say.
Heath, did you have a
– Yeah, just a couple comments. We've been relating a lot to the World War II generation, and you didn't really see this pedestal that we put veterans on currently. There's a ton of marketing schemes. If you watch, any sports venue, the commercials, they all have to do with veterans, and it all says that we're all heroes, and thank you for your service, which I'm not saying any of that is not true. I'm simply saying that it becomes such a learned response that, as James was saying, somebody walking up and I'm fine with somebody walking up and thank you for your service. But then ask another question, make it more personal than just kind of this blanket response that we kind of expect now. Because, we're all about connecting, peer to peer, human to human. And sometimes, just by our marketing and, all the stuff that we see, it just doesn't feel like it's personal anymore.
Yeah.
Jim, that was one of the reasons I raised the question, because I sometimes question the sincerity of the person saying that rather than it's just an automatic kind of thing.
So I try not to question other people's sincerity. I think they honestly care, or they're attempting to make a connection. But the problem with thank you for your service, it doesn't require any investment. The better question is, tell me about your service. Mm-hmm. But if you ask or make that statement, ask that question of a veteran, you have now invested the time, the energy. You have to now listen. And you have to listen without judgment to something you probably don't understand, mm-hmm. which means you're going to have to ask a follow-up question. And this is difficult. You can't post, tell me about your service on the Jumbotron. It doesn't work at the baseball game.
Yeah.
So it's something we really need to work on, I believe.
Our time is winding down. Is there a final thought that you'd like to leave us with, gentlemen, before you proceed?
I think we're all really proud, especially this week, to be a part of the St. Louis community. There are so many good people with their ear to the ground, doing amazing things every single day. And I think our organizations, we work with these people all the time. And so I think we're happy, and we're very, very proud of our city.
Heath, final thought?
I think that was well said. I'll just agree.
James?
Yeah, the other thing we didn't mention about Veterans Week is our veteran networking event on Wednesday at Wash U in the law school from 5 to 7. Bill Wallace of the Missouri Veterans Endeavor has sponsored this. So it's different professionals from various career fields that are going to be able to network and mingle with veterans in the St. Louis area. So if you're a student veteran in St. Louis, go to this Wash U Law 5 to 7 Wednesday.
Okay, we'll put, again, information on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Final thought, Jim?
What a great group, right?
What a great group. Yeah. Absolutely.
St. Louis veterans, student veterans, they're awesome.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Great
to
see you.
Good luck to you.
How much longer do you have in school?
I graduate in May this year.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what we call in the military a short timer,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Jim Craig with the Department of Military and Veteran Studies at the University of Missouri-St. Louis, Student Veteran Association officers at UMSL, St. Louis University, and Washington University, Heath McClung, Jonathan Hurley, and James Peterson. Thank you.